Lord, we do thank you for the things that have gone on this morning. Praise God. I'm glad I'm in church. It's wonderful, Lord. Wonderful what you're doing with various people. I just praise your holy name. Oh, you are great, Lord. Greatly to be praised. Now, Lord, as I continue, I pray I'll be able to tell what things I have seen. Help me to do that, Lord. And everyone to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I want to talk about God's goal. I've been interested in goals ever since I was in education. I was in the first class in America when they were teaching programmed instruction. And so I am a goal man. When I was first saved in the Marine Corps, 1943, a salty brother, 1943. And I was not a church man. I didn't go to church when I was young, and I hated it, in fact. And there's the sound of it. I didn't want anything to do with it. And so I believe what I was told. And everybody knows that the reason you get saved is so you can die and go to heaven. That's the goal. Now, a goal affects everything that you do. Manufacturers know that. A goal affects everything that you do. And if you have the wrong goal, it affects everything back down the line. Quality control and procuring materials and selling, everything are affected by what you esteem to be the goal of your organization. Well, Hal, good to see you. It's time to get our goal straight. And by that I mean biblical. Biblical. You'd be hard put to find in the New Testament or the Old that our goal was to go to heaven. Is there a heaven? Yes. Is it good to be there? Yes. Do we want to go there? Yes. So I am not taking away your heaven. I've been accused of that. No, I'm not taking away your heaven, my heaven, because I hope to get there before you. But I want to tell you what God's plan is. Now this is my opinion. I can back it up, I suppose, with Scripture. First of all, it's divided into two parts. I'm talking now about the procedure to attain the goal. The goal is to make man in God's image. It's not to go to heaven. And we don't go to heaven because we're in God's image. You have to be in God's image to go to heaven. It has nothing to do with heaven. It has nothing to do with where we are. It has to do with what we are. And you can see why people choose heaven. Because there you wait and die and go there and everything is beautiful. But that's not God's goal. It's heaven. He never said a thing like that in the first chapter of Genesis. What did he say in the first chapter of Genesis about man? That he would be in God's image. That has nothing to do with going to heaven. It has to do with you. This may be different from something you've heard before. Don't sweat it. Just check your Bible, like those in Berea. Brother, why don't you? You're going to end up with scoliosis of the spine, leaning like that. Why don't you move over a couple of surgeries, do something so you can see me? I want to see a GI. I don't see many of them anymore. His goal is to make man in his image. And then it's to use man to bring order to his creation. He created two people. Put them on the earth. What's the first thing they did? Sin against God. That's the first thing they did. Two people. So imagine God has in mind a kingdom with no end. That's in Isaiah. Of his kingdom there should be no end. Righteousness. God has in mind to fill the whole universe with people. We're at the birth of God's plan, the birth of it, and what he's doing. Yeah, but his ultimate object, I should say, is to fill the universe and everything with people who will love and obey him like we did this morning. And that was great to see the worship and the participation. It's just, oh, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. Wonderful, wonderful. And he wants billions of people that do just what we did here this morning. This is a microcosm of what God wants. The last psalm, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what God wants. And when he comes into us and eats with us, we open the door, we feed on his body and blood. And he feeds on our obedience and our praise. On our obedience and our praise. Obedience comes first. Praise is useless without obedience. To obey God, the kingdom of God, and his will is to be done in the earth. And eventually throughout the creation. Well, he got off to a bad start. But it was necessary because out from that sin has grown Calvary and has grown the church, all looking back to see what God has in mind. That the sin of two people was enough to corrupt the entire earth. And today it's more corrupt than ever. It is a corrupt mess of immorality and disobedience to God today, our earth is. And traceable back to two people, and God is showing by that how important obedience is. It's terribly important. So God's goal is to make man in his image, and he's beginning with a church. And I talked last week about Larry. Where's Larry? He wasn't. You weren't here last week. The church. The church. This, we are in the church age, and the church is trying to evangelize the world. Well, the world will be evangelized when the church is ready. But the church is not ready. Like it says, you may be one that the world may believe. And the world isn't going to believe until the church is one, and the church isn't one. So God's primary goal today, and has been for 2,000 years, is to build a church. And through that church is the center of government of the kingdom of God. And so, as you can see from that, it's extremely important what happens to the church. Now, today, the church is largely baby church attenders, largely babies. Well, why is that? Because look what is preached at them. That grace is an alternative to righteousness. That's one thing. That alone is enough to destroy God's intention in the church. That it's okay if you do sin, the thing is God's grace. Well, where is that coming with obedience? It ain't getting there. And so we've got a massive problem today in theology, a massive problem. And of course, this pre-tribulation rapture, in which all of a sudden, maybe this afternoon, we won't have to worry anymore about paying our credit cards or anything. That's the second great error. And there are others. I was interested in Nigeria, and our two Nigerian children, three are not here. But a man there that's a preacher is preaching that God wants to make us rich. Dear Jesus, God wants to make us rich. And What happened is the roof fell in on them and 60 people died.
Wow.
Nigeria. Yeah. Not only the people who died in America already because of the polar vortex. So it's a... God is, for 2,000 years, we are in the church age. The other will come later, as we read in Isaiah, when the nations all come up to Jerusalem to learn the righteous ways of the Lord, and when his glory is revealed and all people come. That's the age of evangelism. God isn't interested in 60 people in a community, for heaven's sake. That's for the church. That's for the church. We're in the church age. And there's a lot of verses. I can never find what I'm looking for. But there's all kinds of verses. One comes to my mind, I think it's in the 16th chapter of Acts, where God told Paul, and it was in Philippi, carry on in here, old man, because I'll take care of you. Many people here are ordained. Yeah. Is that it, Philippians 16? Yeah, there are others. You know, I can think in Acts of two or three places where the apostles went to preach and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. Now, I see that doesn't wash in today's evangelism that you're supposed to evangelize everybody. The Holy Spirit wouldn't even let them go into the town. He had people ordained to eternal life. Didn't say ordained to salvation. See, we got to get our terms straight. Ordained to eternal life. And this you can read in John 17. As many as you have given me, see? As many as you have given me. He didn't say you give me the whole world. In fact, in John 17, he says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those whom you have given me, the church. Listen to John 17. They are not of the world. Oh, cool, you know, that's fine. That means we don't go to bars and other places. He says, even as I am not of the world. That makes it altogether different, Tony. See, even as I am not of the world, the church is not of the world. You may feel like it, but according to Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 22, he says, you are come to Mount Zion. Is that everybody in the world? No, or no place near it. The church already has come to the heavenly Zion. And you say, how come I'm sitting here in this place in Poway, which nobody ever heard of? Because you can be in two places at once in the kingdom. And Jesus can be everywhere in the world at once. That's called the power of multiple presence. And you sitting right here with all your bills and problems and what'll I get her for Christmas and all this stuff are also in Mount Zion. You have come to Mount Zion. You are come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. And that Mount Zion is a mountain in the spirit world that one day will come to earth. That we do not understand. And I want to talk about that because it has to do with God's goal. So to put it simply, God has taken notice of the first two people and what they did. And he looked around at the angels. And he says, well, boys, we got a problem. I want to create a whole mess of people. And I can't even get two of them to obey me. What'll I do? Well, I'll take out of them a group of people, because that's what the word church means, call out from. I'll call out from mankind people that I have ordained for eternal life to begin with, eternal life to begin with. Salvation is a different matter from eternal life. Salvation is where God keeps you from condemnation. Eternal life is something that's inside of you. This is life eternal, it says in John 17:2, I think. This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is. It's not talking about living forever. It's talking about living in the knowledge of God. And he wants everyone in the church to have that eternal life. They don't today. Some church, I heard a man preach in a 5,000 member church. All he talked about was there's people here that are going to make money here. They're going to make money with the software. They're going to make money with advertising. All he talked about was making money. That has nothing to do with the gospel. 5,000 people sitting listening to something that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Well, he doesn't know what God's goal is. God's goal isn't that you be rich. That isn't God's goal. It is for some people, but probably not for you, or certainly hasn't been for me. But God has given me something that I wouldn't trade for all the gold in Fort Knox. The knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And, interestingly enough, brother, I was brought to Christ in the Marine Corps. In Hawaii, I moved into a tent with a Baptist boy. It was backslidden. He told me all about the gospel. That was 70 years ago. So, God has a goal. And that goal is to have a universe filled with people doing just what we were doing this morning, hopping around, praising the Lord, yelling, screaming, and everything else. That's what God wants in his world. And where's he got it? In a few churches here and there. A few churches here and there. The rest of them are talking about how to get rich, how to prosper in this world, as if that were the gospel. All right, God's procedure is in two parts. The first part is getting us ready for the second part. We haven't come to the second part yet. Maybe a few old-timers have, but by and large, we haven't come to the second part yet. But the first part we know only too well, and that's getting ready for the second part. In the first part is where God takes us as an unsaved person, and he brings us through to get us ready for the second part. Now, that includes a lot of suffering, it includes a lot of teaching, it includes a lot of trial and error, all kinds of things that we go through. If you think the Christian life is easy or fun, you have not tried it. It takes everything. And to go to the top, to go from 30-fold to 60-fold to 100-fold, will take everything in you from your toenails on up. It's tough. Tough. And only a few make it. And that's what he said. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to salvation. Right, everybody? That leads to what? Life. Life is the issue. Salvation means God doesn't condemn you, and he'll spare you when the new world comes and blah, blah, blah. But the issue in the church now is life, eternal life. The people don't have eternal life for the most part. They may speak in tongues, and they still don't know the Father and the Son. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And as in John 17, verse 2, is there three? It's either two or three. All right, can you take it? Can you hang in there? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. God has a first fruits of his church, and that's a very important concept, because they're the ones that are going to be gathered to Christ when he comes. the first fruits of his church. Not everybody and his brother sitting there living in the world, everything. Jesus came. Oh, good. Now we'll all go up to heaven. God's goal is to make human beings his image, fill them with himself, and use them throughout his creation to enforce his will and also to bless people. This goal should be accomplished in two stages. The first stage is to select people, a church. The word means called out from, ekklesia in the Greek, called out from the world, it means. That's the way it doesn't mean a building. It has nothing to do with a building. A royal priesthood, and to create in them the moral character of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a progressive work and has been proceeding for roughly 2,000 years, has been the church age. Now, how does it work in daily living? Every day you're challenged to do what you believe is God's will or what you want to do. That's the process. That's the procedure. Remember, you've got a goal, which I haven't told you yet. You'd be surprised and pleased when you hear what it is, I think. If you choose God's way, and this is day by day, you're fed in the spirit realm with the body and blood of Christ. See, the resurrection is the body and blood of Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. That's nothing to do with flying into the air. It has to do with a change in you. The resurrection is a change in you. Eventually, it will include a new body from heaven. But right now, it's a change in you. You remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 11? If by any means I may attain to the resurrection, Philippians 3:11. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection. And how you attain is each day choosing to do what is God's will. And when that happens, you're fed in the spirit realm with the body and blood of Christ, which is the new covenant, which causes you to make a better decision each day. Christ is built up in you through his body and blood. Well, how could he do that with his body and blood? Don't ask me. I don't know that. All I know is that's what happens. Let's turn now, Lloyd, to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. We're getting there. Be patient. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes. That's what I'm telling you. Just, and what you overcome is sin. That's what you overcome. When you're tempted to do something, you know it's not right. There's a lot of people falling today through sexual lust. Ministers, schoolmen, everything you think of. It's particularly rife in schools because the teachers are confronted with all these innocent boys and girls. Teacher after teacher is going down, ruining their reputation, ruining their whole home life and everything. They did not overcome. There was a temptation. They did not overcome it. How do you overcome it? By praying and asking God to help you. But you have to choose to do what is right. It's a question of choice. Like in the last chapter of Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. And you have to do that, brother, every day. There's something. But this particular one is the first reward to the overcomer. And being an overcomer is to be a Christian. Because the rewards are not given to people who do not overcome. And these rewards are for Christians. Real Christians, people who give their lives to serve Jesus, not people who attend church on Sunday and do their what they want the rest of the week. That's not a Christian. If you read in the book of Acts, you'll find that the people met in homes. There were no church buildings, and they were a small little group. Paul would name, at the name of an epistle, would name each one of them. Fear not, little flock. Not fear not, mega church. Fear not, little flock. What I'm trying to get you used to is the fact that God is putting an onus on the church. We've had more sickness and more problems in this church in the last year than we've had for the other 39 that I've been here. Here's Sarah sitting there smiling. She was coming in here 3 weeks ago in a wheelchair. I'm sorry, Sarah doesn't like any weakness to be known. All right. Now what happens is, Christ as you're overcoming, let's look at it. To him who overcomes, all the promises in Revelation are promises to the church. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. 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 Which is in the paradise of God. Notice the word right, R-I-G-H-T. Why is that significant? Because the tree of life was in the garden. There's only one tree of life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to make us trees of life so we can stand along the river and help people that have needs. Yeah, it isn't all for us so we can have a good time. I will give the authority, exousia. It's not the same word in the Greek. The word Greek for power is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite and dynamo and so on and so forth. But there's a different word altogether for authority. A policeman's badge is his authority. His gun is his power. See, there's a difference there. And why authority? Because the two people sinned in the beginning, God set a flaming sword that guarded the way of the tree of life. You have to get past that sword to eat of eternal life. I'm not talking about accepting Christ. Hallelujah, now we're saved. I'm talking about accepting Christ. Accepting Christ. You can't get past that sword. You don't have the right to get past it. Just because you say, I accepted Christ. There's people by the millions in the world that have accepted Christ and don't have a clue what it's like to live in Jesus Christ and eat him and drink him at all times. Don't have a clue. Eat from the tree of life. But where is it? It's in paradise. And brother, it ain't going to move. So in order to eat of the tree of life, you have to enter paradise. Isn't that something? How do you enter paradise? By overcoming sin. And then you can eat of the tree. And God doesn't want us to eat of the tree. In one occasion, he wants us to eat of the tree of life every day. You wouldn't want to eat your earthly food. I imagine some of you are getting hungry by now. I can't help that. I haven't even started to tell you what the goal is. I better tell you or you'll all be mad at me. I couldn't stand that. All right. The first piece, element of the goal is in John 14:23. It says, he that keeps my commands, my Father will love him, and we will come to him. We will come to him. People say God and Jesus are the same person. You don't know what they're talking about. We will come to him, the Father and the Son, and make our home with him. That's when Jesus said in my Father's house are many mansions. He's not talking about buildings. If you read any translation after 1610, you'll find out it says rooms in my Father's house. What is the Father's house? Jesus. Jesus is the Father's house. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in him, there are many rooms. And you can live in one of those rooms if you overcome. You can live in one of those rooms. To the last church in the worst of the seven, he said, you can sit with me in my throne. That's Revelation 22, verse 2, the throne of God and of the Lamb. You can sit in the throne. You can sit in the throne. Marvelous. Marvelous. What's ahead of us, people? These goals are so tremendous. The goal is to be the house of God. You, living in that room, representing the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the creation. So someone on a far star that's living there, because the new earth was too small, and the star is lighted not by fusion, but is lighted by the glory of God. Like in the first chapter of Genesis when he said, let there be light. Where did it come from? The sun wasn't, and the stars weren't created until day four. Where did that light come from? He said, let there be light, Mike. Let there be light. Where did it come from? I am the light of the world. It comes from Jesus. And it'll come from you someday. And here you are out in some star or some planet where God had to move a group of people because the new earth was getting too small. And what's coming out from you? You're a member of the church. Life. In him was life. It says in John 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's what you're called to be if you want to be a member of the church. But I'll tell you this, you have to give everything to Jesus. Everything. He said to his Father, he said, all that you have given me, I've given you. Everything I have given you. Every true member of the church says that. I was talking to Belinda last week, but she probably didn't approve. The coming of the Father and the Son to dwell in the individual. John 14:23. That's the goal that you attain when you come to the fullness of God in Christ. By overcoming. If that isn't scriptural, I'll eat my NIV Bible. Another one is, and the church doesn't pay any attention to this, is the resurrection, the clothing of your present body, which we only put you in that thing to prove you. That's why you got your present body. It's an animal body. Any doctor will tell you that. The only thing you lack is a tail and some fur. God has a body for you that looks like the body of his Son. I don't think it'll be as great as Jesus. I'm not saying that. We resemble him in body. After all, you are his brothers. In Romans, we see, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Yeah, the sisters are in the act also. And the clothing of the physical body with a new body from heaven that has been formed from our behavior, so that we show in our resurrection body what we really are. That's a goal. Paul says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection. Philippians 3:11. And then he goes down in Philippians 3 and says, let everybody be like-minded. Lay aside everything that you may attain to The resurrection. Well, how do we do that? By overcoming. He that has an ear, let him hear. To overcome. Not everybody in the church. He says you hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, those that conquer the people. We are trying to get away from that. In this church, we're trying to get it where everybody does something and participates. This is a church of participation, as you saw this morning. Not confusion. Participation. One has a tongue. One has a prophecy. One has this. One has that. One has the next thing. Where did you get that God's goal for us? Where are you coming up with that, Lloyd? Now, here's another change. These are changes in you and me. They're not found in heaven somewhere. They're not found in heaven. You don't find, what you find in heaven is angels, for the most part. And all the people that have ever died in the history of man are somewhere in the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, there's a mountain. And it's called Mount Zion. And that's where you have come to. That's where God is and his Son. And the angels in joyful convocation, cheering God and rejoicing. You have come to that. Hebrews 12:22. If you're a member of the church. If you have ears to hear and obey what you hear. If you open the door and let him in every day. You let him in every day, and he dines with you on your work, obedience and your worship. And you dine with him on his body and blood. What's so important about his body and blood? Read John 6, you'll find out. It is the resurrection. Where the eagles are gathered together, those are people who live by dining on his body and blood. Shall go to the Lamb when he appears in the sky. Because he's incomplete as he is, feeding all these people, and all that live by him shall be gathered up to him in the sky. Not to heaven. Not to heaven. To the sky. So the world can see that it is God who has sent Jesus Christ. The clothes, changing the person from a living soul to what? A life-giving spirit. And where's that found? 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second Adam, a life-giving spirit. Not a living spirit. A life-giving spirit. You know any guys? What branch of service were you in? You were in the Navy? Yeah, well, it's Bob, there's a compatriot. Well, you were in the Navy, weren't you? Well, he was in the Air Force. Okay. Well, I think you found some guys with bell-bottom trousers that could stand to hear about Jesus. Huh? And not just a shallow thing. Not to come to a church and accept Christ. Well, that's a beginning, but not a shallow thing. Once you accept Christ, you've got to accept Christ every day. You live in Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not some divinity somewhere in heaven. I am the way. How can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the life. I am your life. If you let me be that, do your thinking and speaking and behaving, I'll be your life. I will be your life. But go ahead, live in your animal life if you want to and see where you come out. See how you come out. You come out in a hospice. There's nothing wrong with hospices. I'm ready for one myself. Nothing wrong with them. Well, that's where you're going to end up. You want to end up on the throne with Jesus. If you live an animal life, eating, sleeping, working, playing, and reproducing. Eating, sleeping, playing, working, and reproducing. You might as well be a horse. That's what they do. Oh, dear Lord, I'm quit preaching and gone to meddling here. The individual selected to thus be a member of the church is, as possible, while they are still an inanimate creation, in the image of God. We try, we think, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus do that? But you can only go so far in your Adamic nature. Now, here's the punchline. These things that I have told you about are going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. They're not something, the things that you grow into are what? Come on, I just told you, don't be lazy like me. I'm a lazy person. You should see me trying to get out of bed in the morning. Listen, at my age, getting out of bed is like being raised from the dead. That's what it's like. All right. Now, all these things happen in a moment at the time of the resurrection. And there's all kinds of things. Look at Isaiah 60. Behold, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 60. Behold that. And the nations come from everywhere to see the glory of God. That's the time of evangelism. And that's going to come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the first resurrection. And the second resurrection also will have an adumbration of glory when the New Jerusalem comes from heaven and everybody sees it. That's the second time that the glory of God will fill Israel and all nations will give glory to the living God. That's ahead of us. And serving God in His temple throughout the earth, ruling with Christ, teaching the nations as they come up to Mount Zion and say, let us learn of the Lord. Oh, people, the goals ahead of us are marvelous, and they're going to happen instantaneously. The resurrection will be instantaneous in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and so will these other things that I have told you about. You can only go so far in the Adamic state you're in. It's when God comes and gives you a body that wants to be righteous and wants to be holy that you'll really fulfill God's goal for you. That's coming, but you can't get off the bus. You stay on it. But look, I miss all these good things. I don't get to play with my tablet. You poor dear. You don't get to play with your tablet. Oh, my heart bleeds for you. You can't play with your tablet and talk to the Lord at the same time unless you're split in some way. And you're not split. God wants your eye to be single to His glory. And that sounds impossible, but it's not. It's the way true Christians live. And it's why so many were martyred. And I think that it's coming in the United States as martyrdom. I see it where to be a Christian is frowned on. When I was a boy, it was an honor. In fact, if you were an American, you were a Christian. When I was a boy, yeah, 88 years ago, I was, 4 years old, beginning to come to consciousness. Christianity was honored. Yes. Honored. Yes. Honored. And now today, those poor people. You know what? It's time for us. I'm going to pick three people. Let's see who has prayed publicly this morning. Yeah, sister, are you Lloyd's sister? Well, you be one. What's your first name?
Sandra.
All right, Sandra will be one. And I think Sarah Damianos will be another. Huh?
Amen.
Betsy's too shy, you know. She'd die. Would you die if I chose you, Betsy?
I wouldn't die.
You're going to... What'd she say?
She wouldn't die.
Oh, you wouldn't die? I'm glad. I don't want to have to pick you up. All right. Now, I want everybody to come forth and stand around me, and we're all going to pray. If you can't think of anything else, pray for me, or pray for the nation, or pray for somebody, or pray for yourself. And I'm going to ask these people in the order in which I announce them. Sarah, and Betsy. Okay, as soon as they're here, Sandra, take off and pray as your heart tells you.
Dear Lord, thank you for letting us all gather here today.
Amen.
In your name.
Mm-hmm.
Thank the pastor for his words of encouragement and love and giving us the word that we need. And thank you for my family. Thank you for having me here so I can enjoy the good San Diego when St. Louis is 20 degrees.
Amen.
And just thank you, Lord, for everything.
Amen.
Amen.
Sarah, where's she? Sarah, it's your turn.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, and I'm reminded of the scripture that says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall famine, persecution, nakedness, peril, sword? None of these things, Lord, can separate us from you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you and we pray that as we find ourselves in these places, maybe not as extreme, but we view them as such, Lord. Help us to be reminded that none of these things separate us from you, but they drive us into you, Lord.
Amen.
And we want to find you in the midst of our struggles and our times where we think are just overwhelming, Lord. We want to find you, Lord, and depend on you, become more like you, be that imitator that we desire to be, the imitator of Christ, Lord. So, Father, I pray that all the things in our lives would be used to draw us closer to you. We love you and we thank you. Amen.
Betsy?
How can I top all that? Okay, so yes, Lord, amen and amen to the prayers that were already spoken. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come here. We have the freedom to come here and worship you, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And Lord, we just want to praise you and thank you for all the blessings that you've given us and the continual blessings, Jesus, that you are always raining down on us. And, you know, even the things that don't look that great, you know, they're still used for good, Lord, and you are in everything, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that we will hold on to you in times coming and that we would be able to hear your voice, Lord, and your instruction. And I just thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing in our lives and the pastors also, Lord. Just bless them, Lord, and keep them healthy, Lord, and keep all of us healthy and use what has to be used to draw us closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now we're going to sing a short chorus and then you're dismissed. And those that want to go to the altar, go to the altar. And those that want to talk, go to the foyer or the back of the church. Because somebody may have a real need this morning, need to pray. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is bound to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right.